Encore with Claire O'Brien, arts and entertainment for the Midlands. With the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone, imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.
A story to move you, but a story without words. Mixing the classical and the traditional in a diverse musical career and getting ready for a hullabaloo. Just some of what is to come on tonight's Encore. And indeed, you're welcome to Midlands 103's dedicated arts show. And we bring you, as we always do, the very best of what is happening in, around and about culture and the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath every single Thursday night between 7 and 8 o'clock. And really looking forward to the pleasure of your company this evening. Encore at midlands103.com is the email address. I absolutely would love to hear from you. And if you want to get in touch this evening, 083 3010 103 is the Lamb Brothers Midlands 103 text line. Tonight, we are getting ready to welcome a hullabaloo, which is the Children's Arts Festival that happens in County Offaly in the midterm break every year. I will be talking to Mikel from the Barcello Brothers about what it takes to hold a young audience in the palm of your theatrical hands. And I'll be chatting also to David Vesey. And David is a Laois musician who is as comfortable in front of the classical piano as he is with his flute and his tin whistle with Spink Coltus. He will be performing in concert tomorrow for the launch of the new Music Generation Laois. And it's happening next weekend in Port Arlington on Friday and Saturday night. The community centre there plays host to one of the most acclaimed dance and musical spectaculars and spectacles in the last number of years. It's going to be one of those did you get to see it kind of pieces. It is Chuck Dowse's Mom, and I have the absolute pleasure this week of having had a chance to speak to the choreographer and director Michael Keegan Dolan. It's quite beautiful, isn't it? That is the music from the trailer of Mom, which is an extraordinary piece of work. It is coming to Port Arlington next weekend, the 27th and the 28th, and it'll be performed in the arts in the community hall there, in the community centre, as part of a nationwide tour. I have to say, I was watching this, the trailer, and I really was absolutely blown away by it. The first time I saw it was without music, and it's one of the most moving things I have seen. And that was where I started the conversation that I had earlier on this week with the choreographer and director Michael Keegan Dolan. Here he is.
The trailer has little snippets taken throughout the show. I guess Cormac is represented, Cormac Begley, the great concertina player from West Kerry. And then my daughter, at the time she was 9, she's 11 now. There's a kind of a great image of her facing Cormac. There's a kind of a standoff. But Cormac has the head of a ram, and he's seated all dressed in black, kind of staring her down, and she's staring back at him defiantly. I think there's something really beautiful about these kind of two archetypes, this young, innocent, red-headed girl facing down this goat-headed man or sheep-headed man all dressed in black. I suppose that it kind of connects me into all sorts of mythological strands and ideas and emotions. But there's also these amazing 12 dancers and 7 other musicians who come from a different tradition to Cormac's. They're coming out of the kind of the postmodern or the post-classical European music tradition. So the piece is kind of about all these different collisions that happen when these different things meet, and some of the outcomes are kind of expressed in peculiar and interesting ways, I'd say, without any words spoken, which I think is another beautiful thing to mention about the show. No words are spoken, I think, apart from A Hain of Dó Éirí.
It reminds me of that poem by Adrian Rich, and the final lines of it were, there are no words for this except himself. It's the story of a man in flames, but there are no words for this except himself. There isn't, would I be right in saying, there isn't a story. It is what it is.
No, there's not really a story. There's some kind of remnants of a story there, but it's more of a sequence of events that create experiences like that. I suppose it's a bit more like a dream you might have on a peculiar night in the middle of winter or something. I work a lot with story, and I've worked very much with trying to mix story with dancing, but they very often don't make good bedfellows because you know stories really have beginnings, middles, and ends, and there's usually a degree of kind of understanding and reason and even logic that comes to play with a good story. Whereas I think with dancing, when you're watching a good dancer dancing to good music, that something else starts to happen with your mind or with your imagination that's either below story or above story or to the side of story, where it's a bit like how the conversation started, like when you say if you watch the trailer and it makes you feel tearful, but you wouldn't necessarily know why. And I think watching good dancing to good music in interesting light creates that experience. So I love story, but at the same time, I love it when there is no story and where other thought process or imaginings are allowed to unfold in the viewer. So that's kind of what we've gone after with this piece, using music, using our traditional music or the music tradition from West Kerry, and a kind of a postmodern reaction to that, and 12 dancers and a little girl, and put them all together in this space for an hour and 20 minutes. Interesting things happen to the viewer over that hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, sometimes if you go to a play or you go to a concert, you wonder whether you have the kind of the knowledge or the experience or the background information or the vocabulary to process what's going on. But you don't need any of that to approach this, because it's requiring of you to bring some other completely different faculties to engage with it.
Yeah, and I think the working with a nine-year-old girl in the performance, the, you know, people, when you go to, you know, we tour the show internationally as well. So, like, if you perform it in Germany, which we did in the summer, then there's a whole other kind of thought process that does be exercised on the piece, and people start asking you, what's the meaning of this, and what's the meaning of the little girl, you know. I used to kind of, when I was younger, I used to think that being an artist, on the periphery of Western Europe, I was in some way at a disadvantage because of all this stuff that was happening in Germany and France and Paris and Berlin and in the Netherlands. But now, as I'm in my kind of approaching my mid-50s and, you know, going in and out of Europe, and always back to Ireland, I'm beginning to realize how brilliantly we're set up in Ireland. Because we somehow we can bring a kind of an openness, a kind of a I can't find the words. You see, there's something else happens that if you don't try. What I'm trying to say is you don't try to overanalyze these things, that you allow yourself to have an experience. A bit like a way a child is better equipped than an adult. You know, a child can allow itself to experience the full glory of things, but we're always trying to understand everything. And I think there's a great moment for an adult if they can find their way back into that kind of openness or that kind of innocence to experience music or dancing or light or theatre. But I totally agree with you. I mean, a lot of people who come to dance performances in Ireland are, you know, what people call contemporary dance, is they often feel they're expected to understand something, and if they don't, they start to feel a bit othered or even a bit kind of, not stupid, but kind of a bit left out of it. I think it's, the artists are, we're beholden to make work that will allow you in, you know, past those initial obstacles. Now, I was talking to someone who had seen other work I did, like I made a piece, I called it Swan Lake. It was based on the story of Swan Lake. Yeah, Loch Nahalla. But I set it in the Midlands of Ireland, where I lived for 12 or 13 years. But she came to see Mom after that and was expecting a story. So she had set up these expectations. And then after about 10 minutes, she realized, oh, maybe there is no story. And then she said, she began to have this other experience that she really, really appreciated and enjoyed. So you do have to work a little bit when you go to the theatre. But if the theatre is good, your work will be paid off tenfold. That's kind of the contract I make in my head with the audience, that you try to reward their commitment to the experience by creating another experience for them, and so forth.
Yeah, and it's not the only piece of work that you're working on at the moment with How to Dance there as well. Can I ask you finally, I would have asked you for a bit more time, I would have asked you about where you start with creating a piece of work like Mom, but I think having spoken to you, I'm more curious about how do you know when you've reached the end?
That's a much harder question to answer than the first one. Well, I guess there's no end. We're rehearsing the piece again now. You know, Mom had a bit of a difficult time because the whole virus interfered with its development. You know, as its development, so we're working on it again. How do you know when you've reached the end? Crikey, I suppose. If you're not getting, for me as an artist, if you're going back into the room to work and you're not kind of getting fired up, or if you're not waking up, this sounds terrible, but like if you're not waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning thinking, how am I going to do that or how am I going to solve that, maybe then you're beginning to get to the end. But like some of these pieces we've made have gone on and on and on for years. Some of the performers get kind of worn out a little bit as well. Like they'll come to you and say, look, I'm done now, I don't want to do this anymore, I've had it. Sometimes you get 7 years, sometimes you get 3 years, sometimes you get 1 year, you know, it just really depends. But I think there's a good bit of life now in this one.
And the creation of it, Michael.
Oh, in the creation of,
you know,
it?
When you don't have the beginning, middle and end, like that you might have in a traditional narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's another kind of, so you rely a little bit on structure, on kind of musical structures are a good example of it. You know, the things start slowly and get faster and louder and then get slow again and end. Or the structure of a day, or of a life, or of a season. You know, the things generally start slowly and you go through all these gears, you explore all these rooms or sensations, and then you kind of know. Like, it kind of does itself, in a sense. You kind of know how long a piece should be. And, you usually learn the last bit of that conundrum when you put it in front of an audience. You start to see, actually, this needs to be a little bit shorter. It's usually a little bit shorter. Sometimes, with How to Be a Dancer, we realized that it was moving too fast and we had to extend it a bit. So you just apply your intuition and your sense of your artistry to something, and you just know. Yeah, it's like the plane is coming into land, and you land it, and then the applause happen, and you walk away. I hope that's a good answer. Good enough.
It
answer
is.
To a very good question.
And it's a great link to the fact that it's coming into land in Port Arlington very soon.
It is, yeah. It's coming. It's the 28th and 29th of October at the Port Arlington Community Centre. And these off-site presentations are really exciting because you're bringing this show that was, well, it was made for, ostensibly for a big, you know, 2,000 seat theatres, or, you know, 1,000 seat theatre, and you're bringing them into these community spaces that maybe have 300 seats. So I love... that's another kind of an example of a great collision, where you kind of jam this energy into a community centre with a willing audience, and then I think fireworks will be happening on those two nights.
And you can get tickets for that event either from the Riverbank Theatre in Newbridge, which is riverbank.ie, or from dunamace.ie, and that event is happening, presented by the Riverbank Arts Centre and Dunamace Arts Centre at Port Arlington Community Centre, on the 28th and the 29th of October. I think there is a night also in Mullingar. I'll check that out and come back to you on it. But it is going to be absolutely spectacular. Have a look at the trailer for it. Listen to the music. Listen to the magic that Cormac Begley brings to the stage and be blown away just by what the human body can do on its own and in ensemble. It is really quite extraordinary. And next week, I think it is on the programme, I'll be chatting to Ulton Conlon, who will be performing at the Dean Crow Theatre next weekend. Really looking forward to that chat. He's such a phenomenal musician. Speaking of phenomenal musicians, I'm joined on the line by one right now. He is David Vesey. He's a pianist from County Laois, and he is performing tomorrow at a very, very special event, which is the official opening of the Laois Music Centre, and it is also the celebration of Laois School of Music's 21st birthday. And I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by David. David, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Claire. Great to be here.
You have a very varied musical background. Tell us a little bit about where it all started for you.
That's right. So when I was about around 8 years old, I would have started piano lessons. Our family were living actually in Wexford at the time, in Corrie, and I just took up, you know, one-to-one piano lessons, as many people do. And then when I was about 10 years old, then I was introduced to the tin whistle in primary school. And from there, I became I really enjoyed playing the tin whistle and got really interested in traditional Irish music. So then our family moved up to Laois then when I was around 10 or 11, and I became involved with Spin Cultus in County Laois. And I also became involved in Music Generation Laois and the Laois School of Music as well for classical music. So yeah, I've had a broad range of musical experiences there, from classical music to traditional Irish music and other stuff in between as well.
And winning awards across all codes.
That's right. I've been fortunate to have some success nationally, both in classical music competitions and in traditional Irish music competitions. So yeah, I've have had quite a bit of experience in both codes. Yeah.
Do you have a preference, or do different codes appeal to you in different ways at different times?
I think they do in different ways in different times. I mean, I think they both have their kind of, you know, advantages, or, you know, they have their own sort of quirks, I suppose. In terms of traditional Irish music, I really enjoy the social side of that, and to be able to meet with any musician around the country almost, and to be able to share a tune in common with them, you know. And then in terms of the classical side of music, I just love being able to push yourself to your absolute limit and to always try and keep improving and growing as a musician. So I do. I love both genres, yeah.
And you play flute, tin whistle and piano. And is it classical piano only, or do you play trad piano as well?
No, I do play trad piano as well. So I've had experience playing in ceilidh bands and in other groups for traditional Irish music, along with, of course, my classical background there in piano as well, yeah.
Yeah, I think the trad piano is such an interesting thing, because it's a relatively new element of trad music, isn't it?
You're right there, and I think each trad pianist, they almost take it upon themselves to forge their own path, to speak of it a certain way. I mean, obviously Mihal O'Sullivan is a name that everyone knows. But you've got more modern interpreters such as Ryan Malloy, and there's just so many different pathways, I suppose, for traditional Irish piano playing, because as you say, it's such a new field, I suppose. Yeah.
I think it was last week or was it the week before when you had your sold out debut classical piano concert in the Dunamase Theatre?
That's right. So on Friday night last week, I performed in the Dunamase Theatre. And this was a programme of classical music, all classical music. So a bit of Mozart, a bit of Debussy, a bit of Beethoven, and a bit of Liszt as well. And it was great to see such a high turnout, over 200 people in attendance at the Dunamase. It's great to see just, I suppose, the strength and the support there for classical music in Laois. And then this weekend with the Laois School of Music celebration festival concerts as well. It'll be great. It's great to see, you know, I'm sure, a further support for classical music within Laois and also across the Midlands.
So you're going to perform on Sunday in St. Peter's Church of Ireland as part of that birthday celebration, but you won't be entirely on your own.
That's correct, yeah. Joining me on Sunday, there are a number of exceptional pianists. So there's Mary Wisely, Emmett Malone, Jonathan Murray, and Tatiana Vykhodzieva, who is actually my former piano teacher at one stage in the Laois School of Music. So it's great to team up with this, you know, great selection of pianists and to be performing alongside them on Sunday in St. Peter's Church.
When you did that concert last week, you also had an opportunity to work with some music students, not only in the School of Music, which I imagine was a wonderful experience for you, having worked your way through that yourself, but also with students at Port Laois College. What's your sense of where young people are in terms of learning an appreciation for and a skill in classical music?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it was a great opportunity for me to be able to bring this music to them and to share this music. You know, I think one thing that classical music sometimes doesn't do well is, you know, bringing itself and reaching out to people and explaining, I suppose, the stories and all of the history behind the music, because it's such phenomenal music. I mean, it's just amazing music. So to bring that, to have been able to bring that into Port Laois College, like you say, and to present it for music students there was great, and their enthusiasm and their appreciation for classical music was a joy to behold. And then also, as you say, I had the opportunity to give some masterclasses in the Laois School of Music again. And there, it's great, again, to see, I suppose, the high standard of piano playing in Laois. And I'm sure it's the same, you know, in other places across the Midlands as well. So it's really, really good to see, I suppose, young people's enthusiasm for classical music. And I think more can be done there to even further that.
Yeah, and obviously from their point of view, very, very lucky to have you, because you're very modest about your own successes. I know that last year you came first in the 64 performers at the Cork School of Music's Advanced Recital Competition. So it takes a certain level of skill to get to that stage, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Another of success I had last year as well was actually at the Burr Festival of Music. And I won the Audrey Chisholm Award there for pianists. It does. I mean, I think the hours and hours that you put in a practice room, it's, you know, you work really, really hard at your art. In the same way that, you know, a tennis player works very hard on their swing, or a golfer, I'm sure, on their swing, or a basketball player, you know, throwing hoops. It's the same sort of where we're practicing our scales, or, you know, practicing our technique. And then your hope is for it to pay off on the day. But again, I mean, with a music competition, I think it's such a subjective thing. There's no best in music. You know, it's everyone has their own you know, performance, which is all equally valid.
And what was the Burr experience like? And have you taken advantage of that Audrey Chisholm Prize yet, or is that still to come?
Yeah. So the Burr experience was great. It was held in September of last year, due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And as a result, it sort of impacted, I suppose, on the, I think there was only an audience size of 50 allowed at the time. And it sort of impacted on the audience size, but I was lucky enough to be invited back to the Burra Festival again this year to perform with some singers and with their junior choir there as well in Burra. And it was great to see the return of a full audience and the full weekend of programming of events. And in terms of the prize, back in August of this year, I travelled over to Salzburg and I took part in some masterclasses there in Austria, which wouldn't have been possible without that award. So, yes, it's been a great help to me so far. Yeah.
Okay, and this year you've won the Hamilton Hearty Concerto Cup at the Fesh Ciol and the Fidelio Cup at the Royal Irish Academy of Music, and you were performing in Salzburg during the summer and the National Concert Hall in September. It has been a really, really busy year for you. What's it like then finally to be coming back to Laois and to the School of Music this weekend for what is a big celebration for them?
It's great for me to have the opportunity to join in with their celebrations. I can only imagine the numbers of students over the past 21 years who have taken music lessons, been part of orchestras, been part of ensembles at the Laois School of Music, and who've gone on to great things. So there's another concert as well on the Saturday in St. Peter's Church, where people have the opportunity of seeing more of those musicians as well. But for me, it's a real honour to be able to come back and to perform again, where I suppose it sort of began for me in a way. If that makes sense.
So. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, and we'll follow your career and the future of Laois School of Music and the new Laois Music Centre with great interest as time goes on. David VC, thanks a million for chatting to us on Encore this evening.
Thank you, Cara. Thank you.
And the event that David is performing at this weekend is the official opening of the Laois Music Centre and the Laois School of Music 21st birthday celebrations. So the official opening is on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the Laois Music Centre in Church Avenue in Port Laois. There'll be live music and a reception for that. And the also will be on Saturday night. There is an ensemble concert in St. Peter's Church of Ireland featuring the Laois School of Music alumni, the Laois School of Music Junior Youth Orchestra, Music Generation Laois, and the Laois School of Music Chamber Group, and Laois School of Music Educator Ensemble. And then on Sunday, the Laois School of Music 21st birthday celebrations continue with a piano recital that we were talking to David about there. That's at 4 o'clock in St. Peter's Church of Ireland, featuring Mary Wisely, Tatiana Volovskaya, and David VC, Emmett Malone, and Jonathan Murray. You can get all the details about that event on the LOETB, Laois Offaly Education and Training Board website. It is all there for you. We're going to take a break and we are going to go hullabalooing after that. Stay with us here on Encore on Midlands 103. So I want you to imagine the scene, because two young Irish lads with Mediterranean blood fall in love with the Creole accordion sounds of Zydeco music from southwest Louisiana, and something extraordinary happens. And that is the story, or part of the story, behind what the Barcelo brothers are bringing to Hullabaloo this year. And I am joined on the line by one of the brothers, and that is Mikel. Mikel, you're very welcome to Encore this evening.
Hello, Claire. Thank you for having me.
It's lovely to have you on the programme. Normally, I would start by introducing somebody with what it is that they do, but you have such a long list of things that you do. Maybe you'll introduce yourself.
Yeah, well, it is hard in a very short time, but I will consider myself a person that I got really mad into theatre when I was very young. And since then, since I was 8, I remember well the first time until now, I haven't stopped doing theatre in all ways possible, you know, street, indoor theatre, site-specific, you know, so I do a bit of everything through the years, and I specialize myself in many ways in children theatre for people with disabilities as well. I do a lot, and you know, and a street theatre. So through the years, that was my expertise. But of course, music was always been a huge part of my upbringing and my work as well, you know. So this is more or less how I sum up my work.
And we can add in there that you not only perform, but you direct and you perform as an actor, but also as a musician and as a teacher and as an activist. And you've a whole lot of strings to your bow.
Sorry, keep going, Claire. Sorry.
I just wanted to ask you, you said that the music was really important to you. You were raised in Mallorca. Tell us about the music that inspired you there.
Yeah, well, the music that inspired me, and I think that's been a big influence also into my work in theatre, it's the music, it's not like in Ireland that you have so many musicians. Everyone is a musician. There's so many instruments in the houses. New York is different, but what happens is the music, it is very important in the celebrations. So the music is embedded into the what we call it, the traditional celebration for saints, the celebrations of towns, or the seasons. So the music is a very important part. So for me, performance, celebration, and music go together. I can't conceive that. So since I was very small, I've been, you know, brought, if that's the word in English, with all of that, you know. So yeah, that's why it's so important.
And tell me how jesters and fools and minstrels and troubadours are important to you.
They're important because for me they bring an energy of celebration in the world since very early in our civilization. You know, even before the Middle Ages, the troubadours, the jesters, the minstrels were the ones telling stories. They're the ones going around playing music, whether for the king or for the people. You know, so we're the ones bringing the baggage of the culture. You know, so for me, that's so important. And I'm brought, of course, in the Mediterranean, where the troubadours were born. You know, so that's why, for me, it's so important.
So you bring all of this together, and the brothers, in a show for young people. Give us a sense of what happens at that, because it sounds like a riot of activity and entertainment.
Yeah, so what happens there is, of course, myself and my two sons, Seamus and Micheál, they've been, of course, been learning the craft in the house of all of that, you know, of all that energy and the way of doing things. So since very small, they were brought up with the music and the performance. And that's how that came about. You know, we start to play together, we start to theater together, and suddenly we created a band, which is the Barceló Brothers, which mixes all the influences of music that we have, not just the Mediterranean, but from other places, and that they're full of energy, full of celebration. And that's what we bring on the stage, is our energy, the way we are, you know, as people.
And tell me about Micheál and Seamus then, because they're young men.
Yes, they're very young. Micheál is 13, and Seamus is 16. So they're the two lads, which at the moment they're kind of the leaders of the band. I'm kind of at the back trying to follow them.
And tell me about the music that they play and the instruments, because they're talented.
Yeah, well, they play a big range of instruments, but what happened is I play accordion since many years, and Micheál got mad into the accordion as well, and he learned the skills. Even he plays much better than me now. I'm a bit afraid of playing in front of him because he's so good. You know, I don't really attempt playing in front of him. So Micheál will play the accordion, a few accordions, a few different type of accordions, and also he plays guitar, he plays piano, he plays so many instruments, but the accordion has become his main instrument. And then Seamus, which is the eldest of the family, of the brothers, he plays the drums. He plays an instrument that is called the scoreboard, which is like a washboard. Plus, he also plays piano and other instruments, and they both sing.
It must be a crazy lively household that you have.
It is. I always think that it's great that we live in the countryside, in the middle of nowhere, in North Galway, because I say we're living in a city. We've been thrown out of the house.
So describe, Mikael, what happens? What's the show that you're bringing to Hullabaloo, to Clara and Eden Derry and Burr and Tullamore in November?
Yes, so the show that we're bringing there is, of course, we've been bringing him for quite a long time, even if the lads are so young. Mm-hmm. So we've been the experience of encountering people from all ages, through the years, doing concerts all over the place, not just in Ireland, but abroad. And we're bringing that experience, and we put it to the service of young people. Also because I have an experience in my theater world to encounter in that kind of public. So what we're doing is we're bringing songs that the lads have written through the years, songs that talk about life, talk about the aspirations and the way of thinking of young people, but also a range of mix of music that we love playing. So maybe we bring you a song that is a little bit more calm, then we bring you something that is a little bit more funky, something that is a little bit more Mediterranean. So we're going to do a mix of styles that we play on the stage that they all invite to dance. And that's for us the most important part of it. The most important part is when we go on the stage, the show is not just about us. Is about us and the chemistry that we try to bring onto the stage that goes into the audience, and the children can dance, the parents can dance, and we're going to encourage that. We're going to ask people if they sit to stand up and dance with us, because without dancing there's no music, and without music there's no dancing.
And do you find that audiences, that the adults and the kids do stand up and dance, they do get involved?
They do, and sometimes I think the children start the dancing first than the parents. I don't know, we have this kind of social taboo about not just dancing, but about behaving, about things like this, where the children don't have. The children mm-hmm. hear the music, they hear the beat, and they just want to dance. Of course, you need to make them dance. If they like the music, they dance. And from our experience playing for kids, the kids start straight away dancing. They don't stop. And I think for us that's very important, that energy is being, then passed on to the parents that they're there.
And can I ask you finally then, you know, you talk about your own two boys being 13 and 16. What kind of age is the audience going to be? Do you want those 13 and 16-year-olds there, or much younger children?
Well, I'm going to be sincere with you, I don't know, because I think it's been sold as a family show.
Yeah.
But I know in every town that we're playing, it's going to be different because the spaces are different. So I hope that there's young people, but I'm talking about teens, that come to the show as well. Because I think that's very important, and that has happened quite a bit, that we encounter teenagers that they got inspired by the lads, and they don't tell you that. The parents tell you that. They say they watch your videos, because people, if they want to watch us, they're going to find us in internet as the Barcelona Brothers everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we hear from parents saying, oh, my lads really got inspired by the way your lads play, the way. And for us, that's the most important thing. Like I always say, it's not just about us. It's about inspiring and bringing that to the people.
Mikael, thank you so much for talking to us this evening on Encore. I'm just going to read out the dates that people can catch you, and I know they'll be flocking to see you. Thanks a million. They'll be going to Burr on Friday the 4th of November, Clara Saturday the 5th of November, Eden Derry Saturday the 5th, and Tullamore on Friday the 4th. And all of those dates and all of the other events that are happening at Hullabaloo, you can find out all about them at the Hullabaloo website. There is loads and loads and loads going on. My thanks to all of our guests on the programme this evening. The great Joe Cooney is in the building. He'll be with you after 8, and I'll be back in this seat again next week. Until then, take care of yourself. Good night.